Hey, everybody. It's me, Bonnie, your host of the Grieving Girl podcast. And today we have legend, Philadelphia celebrity, Chrissy Frelick with us.
Hi, Bonnie.
How are we doing today, Chrissy?
I'm good. I'm tired, but I'm good.
Okay.
And I feel very honored, seriously, that you asked me to do this. And I'm not just, you know, blowing smoke. I really am, because I watch this. I listen to this.
Oh,
that's important.
I love that. Yeah. Well, I'm happy that you said you would come chat with me.
Yes.
Especially during the holidays, mm-hmm. when it can be a griefy season. Tis mm-hmm. the season to be griefy, everybody. Mm-hmm. Don't forget it. So, really, I just remember that you had said the last time you did Elf. Mm-hmm. Guys, if you're wondering where we are, we're in the theater. We're
the
in a
Walnut
box.
Street Theater.
In the Walnut Street Theater
in
right now.
In a bougie box. Like,
yeah.
This is quite nice back in here.
Also, it's a great sound booth.
Yes.
Booth, because I'm pretty sure it's soundproof.
Yeah.
So if you're wondering why we're not on the couch, that's why. But just imagine us there. Adam can put a picture of the couch right here. Ding. So yeah, we're in the theater because we're doing Elf. Come see it if you're in the Philly area through the end of the year, basically. And the last time you had done Elf was like a pretty hard time in your life. Mm-hmm. And if you don't mind sharing with the people. Just hold this one closer.
Come a little closer.
Because, you know, you never know.
So the last time I did Elf here was in 2013, going into 14. We closed January 5th. And on October the 31st, which was Halloween, obviously, we were in rehearsal here doing our sits probe right up there on that stage. And I got that dreaded phone call that... people who have been through grieving, you know what that phone call is. It's a phone call that's different than others. It has a different tone. And the person calling on the other end, their voice is different. Even though they're trying to disguise it, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to tell you what it is because they're having respect that you're at work.
Yeah.
But when they say, I think you need to come home, there's been an emergency. And I say, okay, is everybody... alive right now, because that goes to show how fast we need to go.
Right.
Yes. The answer on the other line was yes. So I went to our stage manager, Lori, at the time, and totally understandable. Everybody was amazing here.
Mm-hmm.
And I bolted and I showed up at the hospital, and my dad was not the most healthiest of people.
Mm-hmm.
He had anything and everything imaginable. COPD, heart disease, diabetes, obesity. He didn't take the best care of himself and was a longtime smoker.
Mm.
Had quit for years, but the damage was done. Like 2 packs a day, Parliament. So that's, you're done. Even if your lungs haven't had that smoke for years, it's still like, okay, guess what? So when I arrived at the hospital, he was at a hospital that I was employed at the time, and they were taking the best of care with him. I actually worked in that emergency room where he was. So everyone knew when he was there, the last names were the same.
Mm.
You know, this is Chrissy's dad. He's going to be great. He's going to be fine. My dad was still very much aware, talking, everything like that. Fast forward to about 8 hours later, obviously he was admitted to the hospital, still very much... lucid and communicative and talking, everything like that. And again, I felt very safe because he was in a hospital that I worked in, and everyone, not everyone knew who I was, but like people knew who I was. So he got put into the ICU because his vitals were just so poor. and then it only took about 48 hours after that that he was put on a ventilator.
Mm-hmm.
His lungs were just kept filling up with fluid, and he wasn't strong enough physically to fight that off, or to like cough it up like a normal person. Like if we have a cold, you know, get some Mucinex and call it a day. He wasn't capable of doing that because his lungs were so damaged. He was in the hospital at that point for 12 weeks in the ICU.
Mm-hmm. And this started, and the contracts used to be 12 weeks. So it was the
Correct.
Whole time.
It was the entire run here. So... to say that this show is not triggering, I would be completely lying.
Of course.
Because we ran until January the 5th of that year, and my dad passed on January 6th.
Mm.
So he was almost like waiting that we could all be there and give him and our family that 100% attention that I couldn't give when I was here.
Right.
And my dad would never be okay with me ever missing a show for him. Ever, because he was sick. So me, I really think he held on because he knew.
Yeah.
He knew I was doing the show. He knew when I was here when before he went into before he was intubated. He like we was he was communicative, and even when he was intubated, I could communicate with him. Mm-hmm. But you can't stay open-ended in an ICU. So from the hospital where he was, they put him in a transitional care. I knew that day when he was transitioned that he would never be waking up.
Right.
And we were going to have to make that really tough decision.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think I was going to cry.
Well, I always tell people, you're on the grieving girl couch. It's seen so many tears. Let them out. We're in these horrible seats.
So when I hear the music for this in the opening or for the overture.
Yeah.
It is a very specific reaction that I still have every single day that I just take a quick
Yeah.
Even it's not deep. It's not like I don't cry every night doing this because sure. I have worked through a lot of stuff. But it is very triggering for me. This show in this theater at the time of year that we are in, which is the holidays, which are they're tough.
Right.
It's triggering. And then the second thing, every night in Act Two, when Santa reads off of his book about what little Michael, who plays my son in the show, there's a line he said, all his wish, yeah. all I want for Christmas is a day with my dad.
Mm.
That is why in rehearsals that day, I completely lost it.
Mm.
Fran lost it. Like everybody in there really wasn't a lot of dry eyes in the room that day.
We're so lucky that I wasn't sitting there.
Yeah.
I was not there for that.
You weren't there?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I know that Frank got emotional in the one rehearsal singing. Yeah.
It was right before that. That's when he says it. I want for Christmas is a day with my dad.
I lost it during Buddy's monologue the one day.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Because there's things that just tug at our heartstrings as, you know, anybody who grieves, whether it's a parent, a child, a loved one, a friend, an aunt, uncle, whatever, anybody who's close to you, the holidays just are different now.
Yeah.
And it is a conscious decision sometimes to, okay, got to get through this. And I don't know how you felt, but I don't know if because at the time I have three children. The first year when my dad died, I didn't have a lot of feels because I was everyone else's cheerleader. I was trying to keep my kids together, my mom.
Mm-hmm.
My sister, my brother, like I was like, oh, no, we're going to get through this together. I was everybody's cheerleader.
Yeah.
It was year two. Mm-hmm. That was my toughest year because I allowed myself to grieve on Father's Day.
Yeah.
Sucked. You know, my birthday, Christmas, his birthday, which is 4th of July.
Mm.
So like everybody wants to celebrate. Oh, let's go see the fireworks. I'm like, I am staying in bed.
Yeah.
And Father's Day is a hard one when I have a husband who, you know, I love and I want to celebrate for him, but he totally got it. But it sucks. Year two is more tough for me.
Yeah, I think year two is also hard just because, like, the initial, like, the first year, it's like there's so much shock and adrenaline and all the chemical change and also the business of death, which, like, again, I keep saying I'm going to do the season. I will at some point.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
But, like, the world doesn't care. Mm-mm. And that's what makes, I think, grief so fucking shitty.
Yeah.
It's just your carousel ride broke and the rest of the circus is still going. And so, like, you know, I'm sure you have to help your mom with certain things of, like, the bank account, some of this, some of that. There's so much paperwork.
Going to pick out, like, the lettering for the, I hate to say it, but, like, the tombstone.
The tombstone. Everything.
It was, like,
and all the money you're shelling out.
Awful.
Yeah.
My mother, I don't know how, like, it was, like, when you were going through, because your father passed first, right?
Yeah.
So, my mom, when we went to go get her tombstone, I hate that word so much. She's like, well, I got to put space for me. And I'm like,
my mom had her name on it her birth year. And I was like,
I put it next to that. I said, abso-fucking-lutely not.
You're like, he can be there.
I said, you can't do that. And that's really, 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 really hard.
Is there space on it or did you make her get a separate one?
No, there's space on it.
I know.
But she wanted to put her name. Oh, just get it done now. Let's just get it done. Less on you later. I'm like, oh, no, we're not putting that into the universe.
My mom did that. And honestly, I have to say, That was the easiest part of everything. Oh, like, yeah. We just showed up to the cemetery, yeah. And they were like, okay, it's done. Yeah. Like, open. She had finished paying for it. Yeah. The tombstone was done. They already knew. Just like, so TBH, that was the easiest part, yeah, of my mom's entire thing. It was just like, oh, okay, we don't have to do anything. Cool, because no one else gave a, mm-hmm, shit. I mean, I could get into it about Locust Wood Cemetery, mm, period. But that's like an episode for another day. But
they,
yeah,
don't,
it's,
they don't care. It's a business.
Yeah, it's a business. And so I feel like that first year, you know, the initial weeks are horrible. I mean, it's all horrible, but you're so almost like laser,
you're
focused,
numb,
on like the estate, yeah, stuff. And, mm-hmm, like you said, being like, my sister had the similar experience of like, she has 4 kids.
Yeah.
Everybody else had, like, we had to go back to school. Sports started again. Like, she didn't, I feel like she's still processing in a completely different way than me, because, mm-hmm, I had the luxury of being able to fall apart,
yeah,
and like, I'm a freelancer. I literally told everyone, kick rocks.
Mm-hmm.
The only job that I was like, okay, that's what I'm gonna do, was here.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, yeah, else, I was like, I'll let you know when I'm coming, mm-hmm, back. Don't ask,
I don't,
me,
know. No.
And it was a beautiful thing, and that was a luxury to be, mm-hmm, able to do that up until a certain point.
Do you find that people put, or try and put, a time frame on grieving, like, oh, you should, you, that's, yeah, like, basically, like, okay, stop, it's like been 10 years for me, it's been over 10 years,
yeah,
but there's still moments where I still obviously have my dad's phone number memorized, but I will still, if something happens, like a loss of directions was, my,
yeah,
dad knew every avenue of every road of every street in Philadelphia, and I still sometimes will go, oh my god, I text my dad,
yeah,
and people are like, okay.
Yeah, my dad, I think maybe we just got him his cell phone when he, mm-hmm, died. Like, that's because he died in 2004. So I'm like,
got it.
I know that, like, we had phones, mm-hmm, but it was like the Nokia first edition.
Like, flip phone or whatever.
Like,
it wasn't even a flip.
Not even. It was like we were playing Snake and T9. So I'm like, I, like, honestly, I don't have that. But,
yeah,
that, I mean, because I called my mom for,
yeah,
everything.
My,
everything,
dad loved his cell phone.
Yeah, but, like, I totally get
I
that.
I still have it.
Yeah, you have the cell phone?
Mm-hmm.
My mom's just sitting in my hallway because, mm-hmm, I feel like I need to get all of her photos, but I cannot open it.
No.
But it's like, I see it every day because,
yeah,
I'm like, I need to.
Do you know one time someone must have got, like, after 5 years or something, they start to recycle the phone number?
Mm.
I text the number just because that's what I did.
That's what grieving people do.
That's what we do. And the person responded, and I was like, but at first you go, Dad? I mean, I did. I went to
is
that crazy
you?
Place. I'm like, hello, Dad, is this you? No, but they responded. I don't know if it was a male or female, but I just said, they said, oh, I think you have the wrong number.
Oh,
that was, oh, that makes me even want to,
yeah,
cry now. It was hard. You have the wrong number. It's like, no, I didn't.
No.
I knew. I,
yeah,
I still have that number memorized.
Yeah. Someone had told me that. They were like, you know, they're going to recycle
they
her
do.
Number. And I was like,
yeah,
cool. Thanks for letting me know that. You're like, yes, I know. But like, why are you saying, mm-hmm, that to me? Yeah. Yeah. Year two is rough.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still like, you know, it's year three and I'm still like, this, mm-hmm, is hanging rough.
That's still,
but,
really,
yeah,
really fresh.
Yeah.
Can I tell a little, like, not spooky, but kind of a cool thing that happened to me after my dad died?
Sure.
So I have 3 children. At the time, my youngest, Tristan, my son, Tristan, was 5 and a half. No, a little bit older than that. 14. Yeah, about almost 6. We were taking our dog for a walk, and it was me, my son, and my husband just around the block. And my son, Tristan, at the time, was laughing and giggling, mm-hmm, walking down the street. And I was like, what are you laughing at, bud? I would call him Bud. I still call him Bud. I'm like, what are you laughing at, bud? He goes, I'm laughing at Pop-Pop. I said, oh, okay. And I didn't get freaked or spooked. The hairs never stood on the back of my hair or nothing like on my neck, nothing like that. But I was with my husband. That's why I'm like, I know it wasn't just me. And I said, well, what about Pop-Pop? He goes, he looks really silly with hair.
Oh.
So I don't know, because kids are so open-minded.
They have the sixth sense.
They absolutely do, because that wasn't the first time.
Yeah.
He said, Pop-Up looks really silly with hair. So I'm envisioning what Tristan was envisioning, which was my dad, like, back in the day,
mm-hmm,
he had a full head of hair, and he was a very good-looking guy. I don't know if any of you out there know what, like, General Hospital, the soap opera was.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he used to look like Duke Lavery. Wait, I'm going back to when I was in high school, like in the 80s, 90s. That's my age. But he looked like Duke Lavery. He was this stunning, blue-eyed, very handsome devil. So bad. My dad was such a little daredevil back in
the
day.
Well, they say that when you die, you kind of go back to, like,
yeah,
your, like, I don't know if it's your prime or just, like, the happiest time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no one really in on the other side is old.
Yeah, I don't know
how young you get, yeah, or like where just like your best year. I don't know. But
he said he was sitting at a bar. My dad wasn't a big drinker.
Yeah.
But like my mom said, like, oh, back in the day, he would love to sit at the bar and have like an occasional drink. But like when we were born and stuff, yeah, he was never a big drinker. But that was really bizarre to me. And then the other time, my mother was in our house and my dad had a specific chair he sat in my dining room of our old house. Like I said, my dad was a little bit bigger and like just huge and brawny. So the one chair we had arms on it. He liked arms because he could help get up, yeah, get in and out of it. So he was sitting in this one chair all the time. And so one day my mother was over and now this made her hair stand up and she had to leave because she couldn't, aww, deal. Tristan was sitting there like this. Say that's the chair and my mom's here.
Okay.
He was like this, just staring at the chair and he wouldn't take his eyes off of it. And my mom is like, what are you looking at? And he's like, pop, pop. And my mom goes, okay, I love you so much. I'm going to go. And she checks out. Aww. Because she's like, she could not handle that.
Yeah.
But they see what we don't see because their minds aren't, what's the word I'm looking for? I forget what word I'm looking for. They're not hindered yet.
Yeah, they're not closed off or like told like that's weird. Yeah. It's not him.
Yes.
My God, my nephew Mason, I mean, even still to this day, he's very,
yeah,
very sensitive. I mean, I think our whole family is, mm-hmm, but we also like just have always been into spirituality of that nature. But
you asked me about going to a medium too. I remember.
Now I feel like you absolutely should.
I can't.
Because
I don't
maybe
know.
He could come through and validate some of those experiences. Ooh. You take Tristan with you
because
clearly he's your vessel.
Oh my gosh! Could you imagine?
I think we should. Okay, so just because we have dinner to eat, mm-hmm, everybody. Do you have any words of advice for someone who's currently grieving or to the support system, mm-hmm, of people grieving through the holidays, mm-hmm, or in general? But
like I said, the holidays are, you have to kind of listen to the person going through the grieving. And you know what else I also forgot is when we become, and it's not a bad thing that we become selfish in our grief sometimes. Like sometimes I have to let it out and it's cathartic to like let it out because it's harder to keep it in for me because I get that knot in my throat. My head literally pounds where I would just like let it out. To have that person that's going to like let you let it out and that ugly cry,
mm-hmm,
that you don't even need to say words to at all. You just have to ugly cry and the tears need to flow. And then you're like, whew, that was so needed.
Yeah.
Is okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, my friend Michal, who did episode one, just like finding like independence in your grief is,
yes,
something she said. And it's like,
yeah,
you really do. And like being selfish in your grief because, mm-hmm, it's like no one else knows what it's like to feel what you're feeling.
Yeah.
And no one else has lived your life experience. So, mm-hmm, no one knows what like, no one else knows that is like in the back of the cobwebs of your brain going like,
yeah,
triggering something,
yeah,
you know, and you're able to move through it. But like some people can't.
Right.
And like
it's debilitating.
Grief
can be debilitating.
Literally.
And I know that you know that.
Debilitated.
Yeah.
We're moving. We're, mm-hmm, finally not as.
Well, like you said, what you did for Thanksgiving.
What,
and
last
I commended
year?
You. No, this past
this
year when you said,
yeah,
I got up and I watched your little reel on Facebook that day. And I remember going, oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. And you know what? If you didn't get up and move or if you got fully dressed and you said, I got dressed and I can't go, that's okay too.
Yeah.
And people who think that you should get over it or there's a timeline for grief, maybe it's a defense mechanism for them for whatever reason, what they're going through. So I try not to pass judgment, but I also say, okay, thank you.
Right.
I need to do me.
Right.
So I did find myself through my dad's death of the second year, not the first year, of saying, I got to take my time now.
Yeah,
I made sure everyone was okay. Mom is great. My sister, my brother, and my kids, and my nephew and my niece. And I'm like, I need to make sure that Chrissy's okay.
Like, I process what just happened.
Because I didn't. I did not process at first. I was definitely, not that I wasn't allowing myself to feel the emotions, but I was definitely curtailing how difficult that was.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, mom's just, I don't know. It's like when you have people looking at you.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, when you're always going to take care of those people first.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I can't imagine having done just what we did with children.
Yeah.
I always tell my sister, like, you're a rock star.
Yeah, you don't have a choice, though.
Right.
Because your kids are looking at you. Mm-hmm. Like, that song, you know, Stephen Sondheim's, children will listen. They mm-hmm. absolutely do. And they will look and say, okay, mom's okay, so I'm okay.
Right.
And I did want that for them.
Right.
Because they were so much younger. But that we have this saying in our family, like, you know how you say pinky promise?
Yeah.
Well, in our family, we say pup-pup promise. Like, if my kids are, like, fibbing or... Yeah. Not doing something that they should be doing. I'm like, look, did you do this? And he or they, it's mostly he, he'll be like, I didn't do it. I swear doesn't cut it.
Yeah.
Him saying, I'm like, he goes, pup, pup. I was like, yeah, think about that before you do
right.
it. Because that's like, if you say pup, pup, promise, that I am going to take that to my great, you're yeah. everyone, like, you didn't do it. So there's been a couple times where I'm like,
well,
that's
cute.
I can't say that. And I was like, okay, so I know you did something yeah. you shouldn't have been doing.
Yeah,
you know? So yeah, that's what we do. Pop up promise.
That's cute. Mm-hmm. Do you have any Christmas traditions that you keep either doing or have found to be difficult mm-hmm. and like kind of stopped doing since your dad passed away?
No, because we tried to keep the tradition going. Mm. My dad, and it's a joke in our family, he loved going to Christmas Eve Mass.
Oh.
So I make sure to take my mother. I mean, I go to church.
Yeah.
I do practice my own type of religion. Like, I'm raised Catholic, but that can be a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Organized religion is tough for some people. But for me, and definitely my mother, is a devout Catholic. That got her through my dad's death. And it gets her through on a daily basis. Because she now lives with me. She
right.
moved in with us last year.
She do her devotionals and her rosaries.
She does it every single morning.
Aww.
Like, I'll go down and I'll know by what I hear. I'll hear them on her little desk. Like, she's doing her rosary and I
yeah.
give her that time. And then I'll go, morning, mom, like, because I know how long it takes her about.
Yeah.
So cute. But Christmas Eve Mass, when you have three children all under the age of, like, I guess 12, because Zoe and Tristan are about 10 years apart, he used to make us get to the church like an hour ahead of time
to get a good pew,
to save that seat. And God help you if you tried to go in that seat, like, when Mass was just starting and you think we've been sitting here for an hour and you're just going to come in and we're going to move in. No, my dad be like, walk over us. And he was, like I said, he was a big guy. I'm like, that's not very Christian. Like, he goes, I've been sitting here for an hour. They can walk over. He's not wrong. But
right.
it's like, okay. But to have my three children sit in a pew quietly for an hour,
right.
try that. Especially when you have a kid who I'm convinced is like ADD. It was just like, you know, that was difficult. So we'd have to bring snacks. And by the end, it looked like we just had like a full course meal in our pew because we had to sit there for an hour. And I just keep divvying out Cheerios,
coloring
books. Oh,
coloring books,
everything. But we keep that tradition and I keep that tradition alive.
Yeah.
Not only for him and my mom, but for like us.
Yeah.
And what we did stop, and my kids do sometimes bring it up. I say kids, even though my oldest are 25 and 20, Tristan's now 16, but we had the tradition of every Sunday when we would go to church, we would go to my parents' house afterwards and have bagels and coffee. Even if it was for like a half an hour and everything like that, we stopped that because it became too hard. That was hard.
Yeah.
I love that I still can do that sometimes for my mom, but we all do go, oh, this is like how it was at my mom and pop-up's house.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah.
So we stopped that. But the tradition of Christmas Eve Mass,
yeah,
we still have. And we still have his shrimp cocktail because he loved shrimp cocktail.
Shrimp cocktail kind of guy.
We only have it at Christmas Eve. Like, really, that's the only time we have it. Sometimes I sit there. We're like, they're for Dad because nobody else eats it as
You're
much
like,
as him.
Anybody going to eat them?
Yeah. Sometimes I do. But, you know, yeah. It's
well,
hard.
That's nice. I mean, yeah, the holidays are hard. They're, mm-hmm. I mean... trying to think if there are traditions.
I was
going to
say, do you have any traditions that you've stopped?
No.
Okay.
But like, I didn't, I mean, people are like, you're not going to decorate your tree.
Yeah.
And I was like, no.
This will be the first year my mom, since 10 years ago, or 11 almost, she's going to have a tree since my dad passed because she's living with us.
It's
and
hard.
We have an extra tree. And I said, Mom, we're going to have you decorate. And she went like this to me at first. And I said, well, she moved into our house and I have this tree that was put in the same room that she's now living in. I said, she goes, no, she goes, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. And she goes, I'm still going to have my nativity. Have to have the nativity set.
Yes.
And then she has one other little tree and that used to be it. But this year will be the first time she has a tree.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big deal because she hasn't had one since he passed.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be a moment. Mm-hmm. But you know, and I've found that helps make it easier. I mean, all of our family ornaments are in my basement. Mm. I have over the last 3 years collected like ornaments, and I had some things that like didn't have any emotional connection to my family. Mm-hmm. That my tree is mostly those ornaments, mm-hmm. and now I've started to do family ornament roulette where I'll just blindly grab two because I think that's all I can handle.
All you can handle.
And then I'll put those on and like that's it. So like I have found a little, like someone got me a Buddy the Elf. Yeah. Great. I'll put that on there. Yeah. Someone got me like a teacup. Great. Right. So it's the weirdest collection of ornaments.
But so what?
But it's my tree. Your collection. It's not our family tree, yep. which has made it easier because that's not like pulling out memories from that hat.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh gosh.
Yeah. That was like our last Christmas. I'm going to cry now.
That's okay. That's okay.
My mom and I, one at a time, we went through the ornaments. It was so freaking weird that this was like the last tree she did. Mm. It was right during COVID. So like, that was it. And she like told the story of every ornament we put on the tree.
It's hard.
Mm-hmm. And then like 6 months later, she was just gone. So like, that is why I cannot look at my family tree.
Yep.
Anymore. And I told my sister, I was like, I have your like baby's first Christmas in my basement. Yeah. And she's like, keep it. I'm like, we cannot keep them there forever. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, it You'll was find such your a bizarre time. Event.
I can't imagine what you
I even
through.
Had like a video. Like we took a video of it. Like we were vacuuming the tree in our masks because we were both sneezing our heads off because it was dusty.
Yeah.
It was just like, the universe was like, I don't capture this moment.
Yeah.
So bizarre. So that's why the tree is hard for me.
Yeah.
So I imagine if your mom and dad, for years after even you guys left the house, were decorating it together, mm-hmm. It sucks.
My mom tried to divvy out our ornaments to each of us because she wasn't doing a tree anymore.
Yeah,
I couldn't accept them. So I really, to this day, since she's moved in with me, I don't know where those ornaments are. Like ours from like little kids, you know? I don't know where they are. I think part of her may have, and I have to ask her about this because I don't remember unpacking her box, but part of me thinks that she may have gotten rid of them.
Throw them out.
But that's on her. They weren't mine. I gifted those to my mom and my dad. So however you have to handle that.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Maybe this year you guys can gift her weird ornaments of the last few years.
Yeah.
Or like her new home ornament for now that she's lived with you.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. You know, and I always think of your situation and my other, both of my best friends have both lost both of their parents. One of them, it's even hard to say, you lost your parent the traditional way.
Sure.
But then my other best friend's parents were lost in a more like, you know, tragic way, like very sudden.
Yeah.
And so I've had to like navigate that with them too. And it was amazing because both of them would call themselves orphans. And I was like,
I call myself an orphan that's all how the time.
It's hard. Is everything okay?
No, just making sure it's still recording.
Okay. So that to me, I can't fathom because I know how I felt when my dad passed.
Mm.
I cannot fathom when my mother dies, how I will ever be able to deal with it. I will because you have to because life goes on, as they say.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to even contemplate going through that regarding my mother. Because she lives with us.
Right.
She's my very best friend, as I can definitely tell you and your mother were very close and best friends. And then you have your kids who are extremely close with my mother and my sister's daughter and my brother's son. That's going to be really hard because they're older. So now you're going to grieve with older children.
Yeah.
Who more memories.
They're going to get it.
They totally get it.
Yeah.
And it will rock everyone's world because she is the matriarch of the family.
Yeah.
That's so hard.
Yeah.
It's so, so hard.
Yeah. It's the worst. I'm like, I wish I had something better to say. It is the worst. And it's true. It's like something about losing the second parent just like reminds you that you are always a child. It's like the inner child thing.
Yeah.
It really does, like the inner child comes back out, and then it's like the grief, like you'll go back to almost like the beginning of grieving your dad because now you're grieving your parents. Like there is stuff like now,
because who do you go to? Like you say, I'm sorry, every person wants to be validated and accepted and okay, that's the right decision,
right?
But like who do you go to for like that boost or that confidence, like how you would go to your mom or dad, just
now
to make
just
sure
like,
you're doing it right.
Well, now I just go to like the group chat. It's like me, my sister, and my cousin. you know? Yeah. It's like, it's, I don't know. Or you just have to trust yourself.
Yeah.
What would Nancy say? You know, it's like kind of that thing.
It is uncanny how much you and your mother look alike.
Oh, thank you.
And I mean that in the bestest of ways, too.
Yeah, she was cute. She was cute and tiny.
But I remember when we did Cinderella's when I first met you here.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was right after that.
Yes. And so I remember it was an opening night, and it was very emotional. And I remember I leaned over and just put my hand on your shoulder. You didn't need to say a word back to me. I didn't even say a word to you. I just that.
Yeah.
Of somebody who knows that person is struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine what that feels like for you.
Yeah, it's shitty.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is about opening nights. Like, I was this year, actually, opening, I was fine. First preview was rough.
Yeah.
You know, they've had, I don't know. It's just like your parents are your cheerleader.
Mom, they're right. I mean, come on. We were in community theater right. and dancing school. Like, right. who was there? Our right. parents.
Yeah. It's just like the reminder of, like, they're gone.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's cheering. You're like, my friends are here. That's great.
Of course.
But, like, the person.
And then the person or the people who say, which they mean so well, and it is true, but it's so hard to say, and sometimes we want to do, like, a gesture back. But when they say, they're here with you in spirit, or they're in a better place, are they? I do want to do that. I just want to say,
that's where my niece gets it from. I'm like,
what better place? They're supposed to be here. Like, what a better place is there to see one of your kids performing at the right. Walnut Street Theater or wherever the theater may be.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be, you know, here. But, like, they're the people who helped you get where you are in life.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So it's hard, man.
Yeah. I hate
sucks.
That. They're here with you.
They're here with you in spirit. I know. Or they're in a better place.
Everyone the better
would
place
say,
is, like, bullshit.
But my dad, yes, he was suffering.
Yeah.
And it was very difficult. And it really did put a little struggle on my relationship with my sister for a little bit, because I was the one who, I don't want to use the word I was the strongest and be like a better thing for it, but I was the one who worked at the hospital. I kind of knew all the lingo.
Sure.
And I knew when the doctors called us into the room, I said to my mom, I took her by the hand and I said, we need to be prepared.
Mm.
They're going to tell us that there is nothing more that they can do, and we have two choices. We could have him live the rest of his life on a ventilator, not being able to eat. And anyone who knew my dad knew he liked to eat, never be able to speak, and he'll never leave this facility.
Yeah.
You guys had a living will put in place when you were in right mind and body when you guys were in your 50s.
Mm.
We need to honor that. She called three priests to make sure that this wasn't murder, because she thought when you pull the plug that that's a form of murder because it's not God's will.
Mm.
So I called the one priest that she's the closest with and our family's closest with. And I said, I need you to help my mother through this because it's her say. But
right.
I was the one saying, we need to do this. This is not the way he wanted to live.
Yeah.
This isn't fair. This is selfish what we're doing if we keep him alive through this machine.
Yeah.
So the day after we closed was when we all said, okay, enough is enough. And he fought like a bear the whole 12 hours.
Yeah.
The one point we have a funny joke, and then I won't take too much more of your time. We were all over the bed and my mother was dousing him with holy oil. like throwing it on him, and all of us were like, okay. But that's her way that she needed to get through it. And the nurse came in and they're listening to his stats, because we all thought that he had passed because it was very labored, very slow, that in and out. Anyone who's been at the last breaths will remember it's horrible. But I wouldn't have traded being in that moment ever. Even though it's so, so hard, I felt what an honor that it was that I was there for that. As hard as it is. But he took a breath. The nurses came in because they must have seen at the nurses' stations that he was very labored and was very, very close. So we're all like leaning in and everything like that. We're saying our goodbyes. We're crying. We're hugging. We're holding each other's hand. And then the nurse leaves. And all of a sudden, he takes this big gasp of a breath, and he starts breathing again. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Dad. I'm like, please, can anything be easy with you? I said, please. I know you do all the things
right.
that they tell you to say. Dad, it's okay.
Right.
Dad will take care of Mom. We're all going to be fine.
Right.
Go. Like, just go in peace. Like,
right.
be peaceful. It went on for another 3 hours, to the point where my mother was like, I have to go home. She's so adorable. She's like, I have to go home. I can't do this. This is right. so taxing.
Yeah.
He heard her. Because then it was very shortly after that that we were all like, all right, is this it? Is he going to do another gasp? But we had that moment that we laughed. Like, because he did. Like, after the nurse left, he was like, and we're all like, like, what's happening? And my mother was like, oh
God.
You know, it was a moment. But it was hard.
Yeah.
Very, very hard. Very hard.
I hope that our show, I don't know if there's anything silver lining.
It is happy.
It's just like, I don't know. I feel like you're obviously in a different phase of your life. I mean, Tristan's now like almost a whole man.
Right.
16 so maybe and a half. It's like a, you know, just you're in such a different place in your life. At least you get to kind of like celebrate in this. But that's, you know, I'm not a fan of toxic positivity. So if this whole thing is also a fucking trigger, I just with you.
Yeah. That, like, I embrace the triggers some days.
This is our job.
It's our job.
This is our job. And sometimes our jobs are really triggering.
And people are happy though when they come here and they leave here. I do notice some people sometimes because I can't see far, but the couple of rows that I see, you do see those people sitting a little bit closer or putting their hand on their loved one's lap or, you know, just smiling. And you do see people crying and stuff like that. It's hard.
Yeah. The holidays are hard, everyone.
Yeah, they are.
So if you're a griever during this holiday season.
I did.
But I think that that's grief, right?
Yeah,
like,
it is.
It's been, you said 10 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been 10 years, but it's like, it's in there. Mm-hmm. It's just like not at the surface.
Yeah.
It's like a sponge.
It is. It's like, it's not here anymore. Yeah. It's more like a sponge. That's a really good analogy.
Where it's like sometimes it's just there. And then sometimes it's like a little dried out. Mm-hmm. And then it'll come back, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Grief is a sponge today. Whatever it means, take that with you into the next week.
Yes.
And then we're going to have Kat on. Kat's going to be our next episode. So
we talk a lot about it in our dressing room.
Yeah.
Because her dad, my dad, it was,
the dead dad club.
Yeah, the dead dad club.
It's, you know.
Not a club I like to be in, but I'm there for people who need to, like, get it out.
Yeah. But. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Chrissy.
Thank you for having me. And I mean that in all sincerity, how I was like, oh, you're asking me? I would love to do it.
I literally was like, I got to ask Chrissy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just because I was like, we're going to be here together. We got to do this.
And we have fun. We do have fun here together. She's fabulous in this show, by the way.
Thank you.
You're a cute little Deb.
Thanks.
Debbie, Deb.
It's me, little Debbie. Little Debbie. She's actually a rapper, not a tapper. And on that note, you guys, thanks for listening.
Happy holidays.
See you later. Bye.